Hello everyone, it's Black Metal Steve of Metalheads Forever. We have our interview with Niche of The Offering. We talk about the debut album, Home. Please enjoy the interview and support the official release.
So tell us a little bit about the band, because your debut album, Home, is being well received by metal fans, and a lot of the fans actually want to know more about the band history and the background, so give us a little bit of a history about you guys.
Yeah, I'm honestly shocked that it's got such a good reception. Obviously, it's easy to get stuck in the writing and the formation of how we get this thing going, and we forget that, you know, people still have to relate to it and listen to it, and sometimes you never know. So for us, we all started off playing in punk bands back in, you know, our late teens, early 20s. And like, they're all terrible. Like, I mean, I enjoyed the bands for sure for what they were. But especially like with our drummer Steve's band, like that was like a very like party hardy, like, you know, like a sloppy punk basement band, and that was awesome. But you could tell that Steve was like the super robust metal drummer in there, and the same goes for the other guys with their respective punk bands. So our singer actually decided to try to round us all up, because, you know, we've all worked together at some point, one off, but not all of us together. And that got us all moved in together, and we wrote the Offering EP, and that came out on Century in 2017. So it's gotten us a lot of mileage, and it got us to this point to make Home. But we did have a different lineup back then, so it's not like it's been, you know, it wasn't a natural process. Like, we had to really, it was just us bickering a lot about what kind of sound we wanted to have and whatnot, and eventually we settled and got to know each other much better, and again, we lived together for about 2 or 3 years, so a lot's changed, and I think that's evident with this album, for sure.
And believe me, I listened to the album, and the production is really good. It actually reminds me of, like the early 2000s, like, mid-2000s, like, production they had back.
Yeah! That's what I was going for, actually, for sure. So, with the production aspect of it, I wanted to really... I wanted this to be a record that I would love growing up, if that makes sense. Like, if I was 12 years old and I'm going down that Century Media YouTube channel and I'm discovering Architects and Suicide Silence and Arch Enemy, and I'm just like, oh, this is a great record label. And then I wanted to imagine myself seeing The Offering and then listening to it and being like, oh, this is perfect, you know?
I can understand, and that's awesome. I really do. Like you said, like, it does sound like it's like the old school, like back in the day when you used to, YouTube store of all the Century Media bands back in the day. Really does have that, like, the Century Media band, like, production sound. I think that's what a lot of people like about it, because when I first heard it, I'm like, wow, this sounds like something that, like, Nuclear Blast, Century Media would have done, like, back when I was growing up as a kid.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's, like, the main goal, for sure. And obviously having Frederick helped a ton with that, because that was part of the game plan.
And Frederick has, did stuff with, like, Varkatax and did stuff with Volpev, I do believe.
Yeah, he did, he's done the Rise of the Tyrants album, one of the early Arch Enemy albums, and, yeah, those two Architects records, and Bring Me the Horizon, and Opeth, and the guy's just stacked. He's great.
So it sounds like you guys got the perfect guy for the album. It sounded like it.
Yeah, he was actually the first on my list, man. Like, when we first got the deal with Century Media, I was like, okay, guys, like, before we even get started, like, we have to lock down Frederick Nordstrom. Like, that's the guy we have to have for this kind of album. I could just see it being perfect, and he was great for the job. Worked well beyond his pay, and I flew over and stayed with him for a week when we did Mixdown 2 as well, and this is just above and beyond what he was originally described to be doing for the record. So I got nothing but good things to say about him.
And with the new album, do you think the new album has opened more doors for you guys the last couple weeks, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's unbelievable because, you know, when we had the EP released, it was kind of like Century was giving us a distribution for it, but it wasn't them pushing it, if that makes sense, because we'd previously released it independently. But then when this album came out, it was like they drained everything they possibly could. They threw it to every single PR source they had. They really pushed the living hell out of it. And, you know, subsequently with the tour that we just did in Europe, getting to meet all those promoters and some of the staff and other, like, huge bands that, you know, we've been adjacent with, but not so much, you know, we're still starting out, we're still new. Those contacts and those people, those promoters in high places that are, like, on our team now, we're just like, it's crazy. Like, it's just been like a month and we've already had an insane amount of growth.
And it does, and you guys get great diversity when it comes to playing with certain bands. Like, you play like a New England Metal Fest, you play with Pong, you play with new metal bands, metalcore bands, death metal bands, black metal bands. It's like you guys, you will play any show as long as it has good metal vibes going on, which is pretty awesome.
Dude, yeah, I'll play with anybody, man. I don't care who they are. It's weird because, I mean, you listen, I think if you've seen interviews of the record, because we definitely do pay attention to those, there's this whole thing about, like, what genre are they? They're just mixing genres and stuff. And the real truth of it is we just like all of them. We like all the hardcore, progressive, death metal, even pop, R&B, going to, you know, for me, everything except for country, pretty much. So for us to play with pretty much any big artist on a big stage, it's just like, yeah, we'll take it for sure. We just hope people like it, you know?
I think you mix-matching with different, playing with different genres and you guys being more into notable genres definitely help influence the album onto the fans, because, like, people are too, well, you think people are too focused on what genre they listen to rather than enjoying the music, would you say?
Dude, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a huge problem with metal culture today. I don't have, like, an issue with, you know, the metal genre or the fan bases, because, I mean, obviously, like, it's good to have people that are into metal and keeping this whole thing alive. Like, we absolutely need people that are diehard about it. But on the other hand, too, I think it can get kind of toxic when you start grading bands based on how closely they sound to Metallica or how closely they sound to Cannibal Corpse. You know, like, mm-hmm. I think you have to really get that. I miss that. You know, I miss when it was about, you know, going, like I said, going online, just looking at every single band on a roster and saying, do I like it? Do I not? And not thinking, is this genty enough or is this, you know, thrash enough or whatever? It's like, is it good? Right. I feel like that's the end goal. It's like, is it good music that I would listen to? And too often we're kind of pressured by, you know, reviewers or certain movements or cultures or fan bases or even our own friends to say, hey, I don't know if I like this because I don't want to be dissed for liking it. Right.
And you know, that I totally agree. I'm sure many of our fans and anyone that's ever been on a metalhead group before or metal forum sees a lot of those toxic type of reactions.
Dude, it's so bad, right?
Oh, I know.
It's
like, bad. Oh, you like this band? Oh, I liked them back in the day when they released this EP in 1985.
I only listened to their underground traded tapes from the 80s. I don't like their when they got on a record label, they sold out or whatever.
They got too polished for me. They need to stay underground forever.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong if you like it, but that can't possibly be your MO. You know, like, you don't go to bed and can you honestly look in the mirror and tell me that that's how you, you know, eat and breathe and sleep forever?
Oh,
now,
you know, those fans are like, they secretly like the very popular bands, you know, like the diehard, like, black metal fans, like, secretly listens to Slipknot when no one's around.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. It's crazy. I don't believe they're real people sometimes, but. Like I said, like, it's good to have diehards. It keeps the genre alive for sure. I just think it gets kind of messy, especially for new bands too, because I know for a fact, like, people that are starting out and trying to play in a metal band or any kind of band in general, they're like worried about what they sound like now, like more than they used to be. I remember like when like I was in high school or whatever, and you try to put a band together, it was less about what do we sound like. That conversation would end about a week later. And now, like, even before this band got together in my, like, early 20s, like, that was, like, that's such a prominent conversation now. Like, people are so afraid to say, not afraid, they're just caught up in, like, the whole what genre are we debate. And it's, like, that should be, like, a 1 to 2 day conversation. Then you should just start writing music and see what happens, I think, you know?
There's one thing about why I like your album, Home. It has influence from all across the board, and you guys just play heavy music, and people love it. You know, and I think it has a little bit of everything for everyone from across the spectrum. I think everyone can find something in the album they can really enjoy, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I respect that opinion a lot because, you know, that's the goal, right? If we don't get that, it's whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just noise coming out of speakers. But, you know, this is something that we've all really been attached to for a long time. So I hope it at least pushes people to think a little bit differently, and if they don't like it, it's like, you know, no harm, no foul. They can just listen to something else.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure the album's going to take off way more because I'm telling, like, everyone's, I've been sharing it, and I've been seeing positive reviews on it. People have been loving it. It must have been very interesting in the studio, though, to record all this awesome elements into one go. Like, how was that, trying to get all that sound together? It must have been kind of difficult in the studio to make everything to work out the way it did.
It's a boot camp, man. It's tough because we're our own worst critics, and I think most artists probably would say the same about themselves, but I'm worse than yourself as a critic. Like, I will really run the guys to the ground in the studio. Alex does a lot of his vocals by himself, so he'll often lock himself out for about a week or two and then come back to me with stuff, and I'll have to have my critiques or whatever, and oftentimes it's like, okay, go back, do it again. And the same goes for the drums, too. I mean, we only had about 7 days to do drums in the studio, and Steve pretty much was doing, like, 16-hour days, because we'd go measure for measure sometimes. Like, he'd do a song's take, and we'd sit down there and go, okay, at this timestamp, like, we don't, what's this supposed to be doing here? Like, it's so microscopic, and it's so forensic, like, how we look through all of this stuff. And I got to admire their patience, because, like, oftentimes, like, they don't know the big picture. Like, they don't, like, because I'll do give them the demos, and we'll get, like, pre-production together, but they don't know, you know, the eight other guitars or the synthesizers or the backing vocals that, you know, Alex and I have planned. And they just have to kind of go with it when I say, hey, like, this isn't going to work out because of this part that's going to be here. They don't know what the part's going to be. They just, you know, keep going. And it's tough because, you know, especially for drums and vocals, like, those are such athletic instruments. You know, they got to, it's not just sit down there and, you know, play some notes on a guitar. It's not, it's, you know, you got to push yourself to sing those and make sure your throat doesn't burn out or that your limbs don't fall off from doing like 16 hour in a row days. So, yeah.
I can see, yeah, drum and vocal is definitely a very physical, demanding positions in a band. Believe me,
yeah, I've heard
stories about John was sometimes throwing out the backs playing drums sometimes.
Oh, God, yeah. I feel for Alex sometimes because I feel like I push him a little bit too hard with some of this stuff, but it comes out great, man. He's a great vocalist.
You know he loves the abuse, you know.
he's a sucker for the pain sometimes, too. And you know what? They take pride in it, and that's what's amazing is that, you know, they understand that this is something that they've wanted to do and this is what it takes, and nobody here is gonna, you know, whine and complain about how hard it is to do what they do. They just do it because they know they have to be better, and same goes for me too.
So you got any future plans for the next couple of years with this album, like any special tours coming up, any special festivals you guys plan to play at in the next couple of...
Yeah, so we just got off the European festival circuit. We did Wacken, we did a few others in Sweden and Hungary, and that was awesome. Our agent at APA is like I don't want to say he's old school, but he's worked with a lot of great bands in the past, and his strategy for us is more or less the same. Like, he wants to put us on big stages and not worry too much about whether we get the headlining slot or what time we play. He just says, you know, we want you on the big stage, and that's our strategy as well. Like, we want to make sure that we try out everything possible before we start saying, okay, like, this is it's time for us to do a headliner set. Like, we want to play with as many guys as possible. So we have some stuff planned out for November right now. I can't really, it's hard to confirm stuff because we're so, you know, we're new. So we're low on the email lists for a lot of this stuff. But we probably won't do another record until 2021. It'll be some time.
Oh, don't worry. I guarantee you guys are going to be touring for a long time. Getting the album out, pushing it out. I mean, that 2 year, you know, the 2 year, trend we have to do, like, tour 2 years then.
Yeah, we know, we like it though. We want to be on, and we want to start playing, because that's definitely where we iron out a lot of the kinks for sure.
You probably like with the tours, and especially playing a Vok and Open Ale, that must have been a huge deal for you guys, because, like, one of the biggest metal fests.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing, man. That whole entire, you know, front to back, beginning of the day to the end, that was just unbelievable. Just great treatment, great venue, great staff. And the other thing, too, is the community with the other bands that are also playing it. I mean, you got so many bands playing in the same day, you know. It's 100 degrees outside, and they're all, like, you know, they're all normal, you know, in the village. Like, no, none of them are, you know. You don't really, you have this idea of what certain artists are like when they're off stage, and you go to festivals like this, and you realize, like, you know, a lot of it's just folklore. It's just them being themselves. It's great.
Believe me, I bet many of our fans wish they could see you guys play a Vakken, because like seeing you guys in the Vakken setting is something, because metalheads just love, it's like the mecca for metalheads, that Vakken festival. It really is.
Yeah, it is, man. Yeah, and for us, you know, because we're all US guys, so it's like you come across the Atlantic and you hit like this festival that you've been live streaming out of your mom's basement when you were like 12 years old, you know, like it's just crazy to actually be there and be a part of it, not just, you know, attend it. That's it's unreal to us.
Are you feel you got more response, better response in Europe than the United States, or like in general?
It depends, because, you know, there's different strategies, because Century Media is such a huge label. It's obviously we have different PR teams for the US and the EU, and they operate by completely different motives. So for us, like, our record isn't even in record stores in the US until, I think today it might actually, I have to go check, but I think it's today, 16th, it might, if not, then Monday. Whereas in Europe, it was in record stores, like, on the 2nd itself. So there's different PR strategies, and, you know, different PR sites get it. In terms of crowd reception, we haven't played in the States since the album came out, so we don't really know just yet. But I do keep I'm very much on the loop for like the sound checks and the radio and all the reviews and stuff like that. And it seems like it's pretty even. It's just I don't want to be confused with the data, because Europe has had it longer than for the U.S. So, I mean, we've been doing European press for like the last 2 months, so it's, you know, it'd be stupid to say, hey, Europe likes it better, when really Europe's just had the record for longer.
That's true. Europe gets the lucky deals. They get the albums before they do.
Well, it's also like, come on, like, we're all in the States too. So like, I'll talk to my friends about it and I'll be like, yeah, go to the record store. And they're like, it's not here. What are you talking about? Like, are you lying to us? And then you go to Europe and you play these crazy festivals and they just don't believe you. They're like, no way. You did not play that in front of that many people and on that festival stage. It's so big over here, man. U.S. is so different.
It is. I went to Vakken in 2015 and like the attitude over there is so much different than in the States when it comes to music.
Oh, yeah. You know what's crazy is when we played Fezzen, you know, it was us, Arch Enemy, and Dream Theater on a stage. But then the two stages, like to the left of us, is a pop stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and it's equally as packed as the metal stage. And it's like, you couldn't get that in the States, man. Whereas in Vakken, like the Vakken's too like that, where you have like this so much variation in the artists. But you could never get something like that over here, like ever. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It is, yeah. Like, you can't get that much adversity in a festival, like, because, you know, someone's going to be like, oh, this would be an all-metal fest. We can't have a pop artist. I mean, shoot, they have bands at Vakken sometimes, like in the one tent areas where people can just dance when people had been in the main stage.
Yeah, they've got DJs doing, like, remixes of popular metal songs there, too. I remember that. That was crazy cool.
Yeah, see, you guys could get back to Vakken again.
I know. We're already thinking about next year, too. A lot of these festivals were already, like, in talks to confirm for next year, so I'm really excited to go back. When you went, you probably saw Judas Priest,
yep,
right?
Yep, Judas Priest, yep.
Yeah, right on. That was, I remember I was looking at that one specifically, because that's when we first started the band that summer, so we were, like, looking at and walking pretty closely, being like, that's where we want to be, man. That's where we want. 4 years later, it's crazy. But I remember, yeah, Judas Priest was playing, I think, if I remember correctly, Rob Zombie was at that one as well. He might not have been the same day, though.
Yeah, it was Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie's on the second day.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I'd love to see, he's a great showman as well.
He's very fun to talk to, too. I talked to him for a little bit. He's a very smart guy.
Lucky. Yeah. I wish I could even, you know, if you have those. I love, he's one of those guys, but I wish I could pick his brains and see what, you know, what he's got in his thought process for certain things.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you get that chance soon, because believe me, because like I said, like, you guys are becoming one of the up-and-coming bands that a lot of people are really enjoying. It seems like a lot of, like, the old-school and new-school type of music fans are really into the music. I know when I first time I heard the album, I'm like, man, this is amazing. Like, it brings back to my childhood, this production. And this
That's awesome. And like, yeah, how old are you? Or how young are you?
Oh, you can say old, believe me. I have a girlfriend of a teenage kid, so I'm old. I'm 28 right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm 26, so, I mean, it's not too far off.
Oh, yeah, so but, you probably grew up with the Central Media, like, compilations, like, Metal for the Masses and all that stuff growing up.
Yeah, Roadrunner United was huge for me. I remember growing up, that was a huge one.
Yeah, see, it seems like people have been in the same district, in the same music scene, if I lived a little bit next state, next oval.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. But it's great, though, because I feel like our generation, and I say our generation, like 25 to 30, not really a whole generation, but, you know, we got lucky that we grew up with the internet, so we got to see a lot of these bands kind of graduate to online marketing and how that worked. I thought that was a cool era, for sure, because it wasn't so oversaturated, but you still got access to a lot of great, well-primed up artists. I love that.
So does it feel like with the internet, you think it's been helping you guys push the album out more with the internet now, being more advanced?
I'm mixed on it, man, because, you know, our singer is very anti social media, anti modern internet usage. I think it's tough to say because it's absolutely an opportunity that, you know, people didn't have access to, like independent bands didn't have that chance to use it. I think us being assigned to Century Media, even if we didn't have the internet, we'd probably be in an advantageous position because that was the role of the record label back then. Like, there was so much oomph. They could saturate the market with only themselves and there wouldn't be any other competition. So I don't know. I think it absolutely does help, though. I wish we had more of a presence on, you know, those forum kind of sites like Reddit or Ultimate Guitar, like stuff like that, where it's not the artist that initiates the conversation, but it's people initiating conversation with each other. And I think that's the real, like, I guess that's like the modern day, like, tape trading equivalent, where you have the fans taking hold of the taking control over who listens to what themselves, versus, you know, who gets, you know, a music video on a YouTube channel, where almost anyone can do that now, you know? So it's tough to say.
It's true. I mean, you know, after a couple of weeks of the album being on the stage, I guarantee people are going to be talking about the album. I know a lot of metal pages are going to be talking about it. Some metal groups I've been talking to actually been talking about you guys, especially really? In Europe. They're talking about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm interviewing these guys today. In fact, I saw that too.
Wow. I didn't know that. Yeah, it's hard for me to keep in touch with this kind of stuff because they usually put the, we get pressures like this and it's awesome. We love doing it. But it's hard for us to have metrics on some of those things because a lot of these are like private Facebook groups or certain subreddits that, you know, I can't, there's no way I could keep track of these things, you know, and eventually over time I just won't be able to, but, it's cool. I like hearing, thank you for telling me that because otherwise I'd be unaware of it, you know?
Well, yeah, believe me, like the groups I've seen, the people have been talking about it and telling like these guys are amazing. Like, you should not be like, you know, you should wake up to this album because you guys don't want to sleep on this album. The album's very personal to me. It sounds very personal in the themes and lyricism that you guys have in it. And I think that speaks to the fans. So like, I'm sure the fans love that aspect of that. It's a heavy album with something that people can relate to as well. And we need more albums like that in the industry, I think.
Yeah. Our singer was trying to get away from, too many cliches. I think he was kind of, a little, I don't want to say he was not traumatized or he was not, he didn't have a really good impression with our EP, with how the lack of honesty he felt, and especially with a lot of metal bands today where it's like, it's a lot of it's like fantasy, you know, and that's fine for a lot of power metal bands and a lot of the slam bands where they want to talk about stuff that just doesn't really exist in today's world. But I think there's like he thinks at least, I do too as well. There's not a lot of authenticity in lyrics these days. So I think it's important, at least for this record, it was important for us to be like super honest and try to be very like not relatable, but just being so honest with ourselves that it would be relatable for the average person to pick up and take a message for themselves.
See, I think that's what fans like. They like just want honesty. They don't need something like you say, cliches and all that. I'm sure a lot of fans are sick of hearing the same old stuff in fantasy.
Yeah.
You know,
all the you know, crazy, you know, studded armor and fishnets and stuff like that. It's like, that's cool if you're, I don't know. I don't have anything against it. I really don't. I love a lot of bands that do that. But I think for us, that's not really our mission statement.
Yeah, I mean, it's one point that you think that's you, that's your thing, and this is our thing, you know. It's
yeah,
and your thing is really good.
I mean, you just heard me gush over Rob Zombie, so obviously I don't have a problem with a little bit of role playing. So
exactly, I mean, it seems like you have, definitely give a fan something to think about in the music. I think that's what probably like a lot of people are going to like the album, because it's something that they can really think on and feel upon, and like they can actually feel the intensity of the album itself from the
lyrics. Yeah, we really wanted something people could sit down and dissect the layers, because I miss that, man. This doesn't happen often anymore, where I get a metal record and I sit down with it for like 4 weeks and just try to figure out like what does this lyric mean, or what's underneath that sound or whatever, you know. It's kind of a, I don't want to say it's totally lost, because there's still guys that are doing it. But I wanted to really take the point and say, hey, here we're going to be a band that can offer that experience for people.
And I think you're definitely offering that a lot. And of course, when we get this interview up, people will be talking more about you guys, because you're just a down to earth guy. And I think that people like that about metalheads. <They're> so down to earth.
Yeah, I mean, I got some fears about myself. Don't get me wrong. It's just we'll see. I hope people find us nice, like, you know. Obviously it's one thing to like the music, but like you said, like, people like getting to know the people behind the music, and I hope that they're okay with that as well.
No, believe me, it sounds like you are a real divorced person. You guys are real divorced in the music scene in general, especially. I'm so gonna say you guys are from Boston, to make sure to clarify, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm from the Bay Area, in San Francisco Bay Area, and so is our bass player. Our singer grew up in upstate New York, and our drummer is from southern Massachusetts, but we all met in Boston. That's how we started the band. We all lived there for about 6 or 7 years each, and at the same time as each other. So that was how we first played shows with each other, and that's how we first met each other.
So you guys came from a lot of different areas from the influence.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's, for me, it's definitely, I definitely have like a very different background to the rest of the guys, because I'm the only immigrant in the group. So a lot of what my understanding with culture and metal, and, you know, this is obviously people might hear it and think it's not very relevant, but I think it's true, because your background very much dictates your approach to tradition and to common themes and culture and how you decide to act with it. And I think for the other guys, I'm very lucky that I'm in a band of guys that are very tolerant to me being that different, I would say. And, you know, we're all very quirky people, and we all understand that about each other. It's very, very lucky, I would say.
You know, it works, man. That's amazing. You know, yeah. Like, you guys work too well with different backgrounds. It really makes the band more wholesome, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. We always say that, We're a pretty ethnic band now at this point.
Believe me.
Yeah, we got an Italian singer, an Irish drummer, and our bass player is like this super Nordic guy, and I'm Indian, so I don't know where you got that mix, but
you can see you're the UN of the heavy metal bands. You can say that. You're the UN.
The UN. That's a good one.
Believe me. And you say your singer's from upstate New York?
Yeah, he's actually from Skaneateles. So
no way! I actually work in Skaneateles. I actually work there.
Yo.
I actually live in Syracuse.
Yeah. We lived there, actually. When we first started the band, I moved in with Alex for like a couple months when we first wrote the EP. And that was, part of it was in New Hampshire. The other part of it was at his place in Skaneateles. And since then, you know, we haven't been back there. But yeah, he's got some deep-seated angst towards his hometown, for sure.
So if you guys ever come by to the restaurant outside the outside of Skinny Atlas. We have good food.
Oh, right on. I remember when I was there, I had there's like a downtown that's around there. I forgot. I remember I used to, my routine there was like wake up, hit the YMCA in Skinny Atlas. There was like a nice Y there that I used to, when we wrote the EP, that was like my routine. Then we go to there's like a Wegmans or something.
Yep.
That was in Skinny
Atlas. Yep, there's like a Wegmans right outside of Auburn. Yep.
Yep, that's there. We'd go there every Sunday and watch football together. I remember that. We'd get it subs and go home, and yeah, that was like a band ritual for sure when we first started getting together.
Well, that's fun. That's so awesome knowing you guys are. He's come from Skaneateles, which is amazing. It's a small.
We don't put that in pressers because people don't really understand what that is. They hear New York and they think New York City, but man, people forget New York is massive.
Mm-hmm. They forget that we got some little towns out here.
Oh yeah. It's like that mix between like Bills territory and Jets. It's a weird.
I know if you're a Bills fan, like you have good support for being a Bills fan.
Oh yeah. Not for our. I mean, we go in there with our Patriots jerseys and stuff from Boston. It's like hide them. Don't wear those. Bad idea.
Don't worry. The Bills can't say anything. I mean, they had a good season. How long now?
Hey, you guys made playoffs. I think what was it? 2017.
Yep.
Yeah, what was it? It wasn't the Nathan. It was Nathan Peterman. He got put in at the last second. Because sorry, I'm a huge football fan.
Oh, so don't worry, I'm a Giants fan. Believe me, I have a tiki next to me. That's of Eli.
That's awesome. No, I just get super upset. The guys can't stand it because whenever I talk to anybody in pressers that has any kind of knowledge of the game, it just like becomes a fantasy football podcast and not a metal interview, I guess.
Hey, metalheads love football. Believe me, like George Corpsegrano, he's a huge Broncos fan.
Is he really? Yeah. He's from like Florida, though. No, wait, the Campbell Corpse is from Syracuse. I thought they were all raised there.
Some of the guys actually came like back in like the early 90s and stuff, and I was like just a kid, actually put up flyers and everything. They played the Lost Horizon and everything up in Syracuse and Buffalo, which is pretty cool. I mean, we got some metal bands famous from our area.
So why is he a Broncos fan? I don't understand that.
I don't know. I think he just like teams that play very well. He actually got like a signed helmet. One of the famous quarterbacks a while back, he got a signed helmet of it. He brags about it all the time on his Facebook a lot about it.
Wow. I did not know that at all about him. That's interesting.
Yeah, you should see he got tons of like football memorabilia. Like you look on YouTube, you can just see he would talk about his collection like nonstop next to Legos.
He seems like a quirky dude. I know somebody that's really good friends with him, and I never heard that in conversation. So that's pretty awesome.
Oh, he's a fun guy. Oh, believe me, and Alex is down to it. But George, he's just like a little kid. He's like a teenage kid.
Yeah, I respect that about him, though. I love that he's like, anytime I see him in an interview or at a concert or whatever, he just seems like he's in his element no matter what. I gotta respect that about someone for sure.
Exactly. You know, soon you'll be playing with Cannibal Corpse soon, and you'll be like, hey, what's up, George?
I mean, you know, we did play in Florida for a bit there, and we always had this like, oh, I wonder if we'll, you know, if Cannibal Corpse will be at the Brass Mug today because we're playing there, and it's like, usually didn't happen, but I've heard he's a regular. A lot of the guys in Obituary are regulars for like Brass Mug and some of the Ybor City stuff. So I mean, respect them for sure. We got our start in Florida.
See, Florida's great for music and great for beer.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's how we met Jen from Jen of Torturers. It was in Florida. All that was a whole chapter of the band that, you know, doesn't often get brought up because that was like our grinding years. But we had a lot of fun. Met a lot of cool old names in there, like Kelly from Atheist and some of the guys that knew the Cannibal Corpse guys but never actually met them. So hopefully one day.
That's pretty awesome, man. It sounds like you guys just know. It sounds like you guys are definitely like the metal band that people will like just from based on the personality and the music alone.
Like, I don't know, man. We'll see about that. I honestly, sometimes I absolutely love metal culture, and sometimes I'm terrified of it because, you know, I never... I don't know. We'll see whether they like us or not. I hope they like the music, and I think they seem to so far. So
I mean, hey, you know what? In the next couple of weeks, it's going to be one of the top ones on the Century Media list. Yeah, you know it.
I hope so. I mean, the label's doing their absolute best, so I got nothing but respect for them, for sure.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for letting us do this interview. You are such a fun guy, and your music is amazing. And I'm sure that it's going to take off for you guys with the debut, and the touring is going to be great for you. And hopefully we see more albums down the road from you, obviously. I mean, of course, if you guys have up for a new interview, like in a couple months, just shoot us a message. We'd be more than happy to do another interview with you guys.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Steven.
No problem.
Or Steve, whatever you
prefer. You can call me anything. Just don't call me my dad, which unfortunately is also my name.
Okay, I got you. No worries.
You have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks. You too. Have a good one.